Chapter 60, Repentance. After having spoken his own autobiography, Christ wrote the biography of all whom he redeemed. The fruits of his cross must now be applied to all peoples and all nations. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, of this you are the witnesses. Luke 24:47. The first sermon that Christ preached was on the subject of repentance. From that time onwards, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Matthew 4:17. The first sermon of Peter was on repentance. The first sermon of Paul was on repentance. Now the last sermon Christ preached before ascending into heaven was the theme of his first. Repentance was to be the burden of the New Testament teaching. Repentance is thus linked up with the fulfillment of the ancient prophecies, but above all with the application of the redemption won on Calvary. Peter, who heard this message, would be preaching it himself in a short time. All the prophets bear him this testimony, that everyone who has faith in him is to find remission of sins through his name. Acts 10:43. Repentance implied a turning away from sin and a turning to God. The first four Beatitudes he preached were a description of this inner and radical change of heart, namely, poverty or humility of spirit, sorrow for sin, meekness, hunger and thirst for love of God. In the parable of the prodigal son, our Lord had drawn a picture of the soul penitent who entered into himself, as if sin had externalized him, and then returned humbly to the Father's house. The angels of heaven, he said, rejoice more over one sinner doing penance than 99 just who need not penance. The publican in the back of the temple mourning over his sins, he said, went back to his house justified. Now in his farewell discourse before the ascension, he bade the world repent. This preaching of repentance was to begin at Jerusalem, for salvation was first to the Jews. In that city, the one great sacrifice was offered for the sins of the world. There it was that the priesthood was shadowed forth with its rites and oracles. There it was that prophecy announced the captain of Israel. And it was there, as Isaiah said, the Lord's commands shall go out from Zion, his word from Jerusalem. Isaiah 2:3. The divine order to begin preaching redemption in Jerusalem was a mark of his great compassion, for he was directing his apostles to go to those who had falsely accused him and tell them that he was their advocate, that he would plead their cause from on high, and finally assure them that, though they scourged him, through his stripes they would be healed. Having finished his own autobiography, our Lord reminded them again of the Spirit that he promised the night of the Last Supper and fulfilled partly when he breathed on them and gave them the power to forgive sins. And behold, I am sending down upon you the gift which was promised by my Father. You must wait in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Luke 24:49. Thus he promised a manifest increase of the Holy Spirit beyond a breathing. In fact, it would be a power from on high. But to receive it, they must wait 10 days after his ascension. This power would be greater than that given to Moses for his work of guiding Israel, greater than that given to Joshua to conquer his enemies, greater than that given to kings and prophets, and it would enable them to proclaim the redemption. The apostles did not understand the nature of this power, for to them it meant a kind of restoration of Israel. Lord, dost thou mean to restore the dominion to Israel here and now? Acts 1:6. They were still thinking in the old terms of a political Messiah and of making Jerusalem what Caesar had presently made Rome. But he warned that it was not for them to know the times or the seasons. A faith in a bright future was not to prompt a presumptuous curiosity. In all things they must wait upon God. The present is the exclusive object of apostolic duty. As regards the future, some will reap where they did not sow. Power they would have, but not power to restore Israel. It would be a power over living souls to channel into them the forgiveness and grace stored up in the reservoir of Calvary. Enough for you that the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will receive strength from him. You are to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and throughout Judea, in Samaria, yes, and to the ends of the earth. Acts 1:8. They wanted an earthly kingdom. He spoke of a spiritual one. They wanted a return of the old things. He told them they would be witnesses of a new thing, and to be a witness meant to be a martyr. The power of his Spirit was consonant with human weakness. They could be humanly weak as Paul was in his preaching, but full of power because of the Spirit. They were bound by the idea of a nation, Israel. He included the world in his vision. Their new power would be a gift. It would not be generated from within by self-confidence, by a subjective belief that one had influence over others, or by a psychological trick of believing in oneself. Organized revivals based on commercialized propaganda would draw crowds, but such tricks could no more produce spiritual effects than they could produce thunder and lightning. At this solemn moment when Christ is about to turn over the world itself to his 11, he returned to the subject of the Last Supper, the Holy Spirit. As he began his public life with the descent of the Holy Spirit, so they were to begin their mission to the world. The Spirit came to him after his obedience to his mother and foster father in Nazareth, so the Spirit would come to them after their obedience to tarry in Jerusalem as they abided in prayer. When that power would come, they were to be witnesses not to his miracles alone, or his prophecies, or his moral commands, but to his person, as on the Mount of the Beatitudes he reaffirmed that there is no doctrine apart from his person. One could no more choose to believe his words about the lilies and disbelieve his words about hell than to believe in his body and not his blood. With this affirmation that Christianity is Christ, he prepared to ascend to his Father.